That's Twisted.
This is Mark McNeese in New York City with my co-host
Rick Rose in Shreveport, Louisiana.
And you're listening to The Twist.
Who's blowing vape in your face?
Oh my God, let's get the show started. Watch this. Look what I can do.
No, because... Okay, because you know I love these little outtakes that I put in there that I open the show
with. Let's start the show.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to The Twist, everybody. America's only clothing optional podcast. I am enjoying a rainy day in New Jersey. What's it like there, Rick?
Wow, it's a fabulous day. I'm in Shreveport. It is Derby Day.
Oh, it is. The Kentucky Derby's on this afternoon. I will watch it.
Oh, my God. You need to watch. We'll talk about it a little later because some of the shit I want to talk about today are all about things Louisiana, Shreveport specifically. We're in the news, Mark. We're making the news, baby. And one of the big things we have going on today is we do our own version of Derby Day. That starts at 2 o'clock today, and it leads up to the end of the Derby. We all sit there on a big old yard, and then we watch it, and it's a great day.
And we also cross-promote. So
what?
We're promoting Derby Day in Shreveport.
Oh, we are.
Right?
Yes.
Like, where's the ad revenue?
Well, I know. Oh, my God. Mark is part of the Shreveport Times now.
And Mark has to be really careful what he puts on Facebook.
No, we won't talk about that. But you know what, Mark? What's so funny? You're speaking like a true, quote, journalist anymore because we talk about revenue. Whether you're a writer or you work in the ad department, everything's revenue-driven now in the big world of the big world.
Well, and I have to think revenue because, as you know, by December 31st, if not sooner, because they may eliminate my job.
Right.
But I am absolutely leaving by December 31st, and I will not be an office cubicle person anymore. I'm going to be a writer and a producer and a publisher and an editor, and that's the deal. So I've got to think revenue.
Well, you do, and because your penis is too big for that anymore, Mark.
Well, didn't you send me a link about the ideal 10 inches was the ideal or something like
no,
that?
No, it says the ideal penis size in 10 countries, but shockingly, 10 inches isn't even part of it. I think we all overthink the dick.
Oh, crazy. Absolutely. The average size is like 6 inches.
We'll get to that. So welcome to our show, guys. Yes. We start, and we have a bell for those listening for the first time. Mark has that bell. I have a gong.
Cow gong.
Gong.
Fun sound effect.
Yes, I can't find my bell. And then, yes, Mark throws in these sound effects like this one.
Whoop.
And this one.
Yeah.
Replace those with less primitive ones when you can, Mark. Please.
Yeah, that don't cause reverberation on the sound. So
that's right. A shout out to my friend Maya. She's been downloading us and listening to us. She's on her way to Washington, D.C. Friend of mine, well, she's originally from Osaka, Japan, like where I used to live in. She loves our podcast, and you know what she loves, Mark?
Our rapport.
The sound effects. No, she likes the sound effects.
Well, I decided it was really important to do that because, like, podcasting is a really big thing now, and like so many people do it. Like, how do you make your podcast? I mean, our sound quality can only be so good because of our equipment and that sort of thing. But you can make it fun, and it's got to have music under it. I mean, there are people who just the podcast comes on and they just talk.
I know,
and it's kind of like boring unless they're really, really interesting, entertaining people. And I mean, we're both.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, I hope we are. I mean, for those that want to let us know if we are or we're not, just send us a comment. We get one once in a while, once every month or so.
Oh, my inbox is like flooded. Are you crazy? I shut down my email.
Oh my gosh, Mark, you and yeah. I don't know what. Well, anyway, so we have this thing called shit we want to talk about, and that's what we're going to do. And then Mark has a topic, I have a topic, and then we go to a final bell like that. It's our big topic, and then we close the show with a wonderful quote, which today, by the way, Mark, is two quotes blended into one.
You do that really, really well. Seamlessly, I think.
Yes, I know.
Now, who's going to start with the shit?
Oh, we just start talking shit. So I told you I want to talk a lot of Shreveport shit. One of the things about Derby Days is we actually have a guy from Ruston, which is just up the road from Shreveport, so it's technically Shreveport, having a racehorse today in the Derby. That's why we're all excited.
Well, I like the Kentucky Derby. I haven't bet on a horse in a long time. We went to the, what's the one that's here anyways? I can't waste time on it, but we went to that, but we didn't actually get to see it because it was to see if one of Frank's artists performing, and we thought we were going to get into the clubhouse and watch the race, and we spent the whole time in the back in the festival.
Oh, I remember that. Yay. I remember when you went.
Pimlico.
That's it. This guy's name is Steve Davison. He's been to the Derby, I think, 10 or 11 times, but he's actually an owner of a horse. Well, 10 or 11 times he's actually owned a horse in it. This is his third trip to Louisville to actually watch the race. Go. The horse's name is Destin. So you're going to see a great colt at the 142nd Annual Derby. His name is Destin. You'll know he's owned by a guy right here from Shreveport. Also, Mark, we made news this week because this 110-year-old man died. And working at the Shreveport Times, I have a friend that was putting the obituaries in for the day. And she's like, Rick, look at this. This man was 110 years old. And I looked, and then I read his story. Mark, he was the last surviving known World War II vet.
Oh, my God. That's fascinating.
It's a poignant story. His name is Frank Levingston. He died Tuesday at the VA hospital.
World War I vet. World War One.
No, I had to look that all up.
Frank, he can't be the last surviving World War II vet. My father was in World War II. You got to only be about 90 to be a World War II vet, maybe 85.
Looked it up. You know why?
He
got into the war very old. He was born in 1905 in North Carolina, died here just up the street from me on Tuesday. But last year on his birthday, Levingston was invited to D.C. where he got to see the World War II Memorial, the Changing of the Guard, and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers, and the White House, because he was a guest of Obama. But what's interesting about it is he joined the war efforts of World War II late in the movement at 36 years old. True story. Look him up. Interesting.
You mean the oldest? Okay. Yeah, we're going to get emails on that because there are World War II vets alive. I know there are.
The oldest surviving one.
That's what you – I thought you said the last.
Oh, I
check the tape. We got to check
the tape. Hey, rewind. It goes like this.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's big news. Hey, let me finish my street board shit, right. Okay? All okay. Right. Really?
Flooding. You had all kinds of stuff going on there.
Oh, we did. No, I want to
talk
about
violence. You had murders and stuff.
We did. The Serotones. Have you heard of them?
No, but I bet they make you feel good.
Well, no. You did hear of them because you actually saw them on they were on CBS.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A.J. Haynes, who also writes for Rouge Magazine, which Mark also writes for. It's a part of the Shreveport Times. She does our fashion stuff. Well, she's the lead singer. She came. Rolling Stones came out this week and said the 10 new artists you need to know. Serotonin's top of the list, Mark.
Oh, my God. That's really, really cool.
It's good for them. And then yesterday there was a follow-up story in Metro magazine talking about their sound. And they're really equating them. They say, will they be the next Alabama Shakes, a band I know you like?
Yeah, for sure.
So they said they're kind of a combination of the Dirt Bombs, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and Alabama Shakes. They're getting a lot of attention. They're coming back to the streets of Shreveport for a big party to launch their new album in a couple weeks. So. Shout out to AJ Haynes.
I'll be there in spirit. Absolutely.
I know. I wish you were here in other ways, but yes. All right. I have one more, but I'm going to let it go.
So I thought we were alternating. It's like you're reading a list. You've got six shit things you want to talk about.
Well, all mine related to Shreveport. So my shit stop topic was, how can Shreveport be so cool?
Okay. It is, though. Of course, I write for the Shreveport Times. It's totally cool.
It is very cool.
And, okay, my turn?
Sure.
No, go on if you had one more.
No! Well, okay. One last thing. Photos were released of George Bush by his personal photographer at the time he was in the presidency of the whole 9/11. From the time he was reading to the kids to the time he got back to read to the nation his message, those photos were released. And many people don't know. I think you know, right? You know where he flew from Florida to after he heard the news, right?
Kennebunkport.
Shreveport, Louisiana.
Oh, of course, there's a theme.
It was a setup for you. Did you know that, though?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, pretty cool. The photos were released. There's a request for public records that went out. But yeah, he flew into Barksdale Air Force Base, which is just over the river from Shreveport. And there's some great photos in this series. And check it out. It's online. You can Google it and see it. PBS, I think, was a part of that. Okay,
excellent.
Your turn.
My turn. I'm not going to talk too much, but I can always, if I'm thinking of, what am I going to say? I can think back to my rants on Facebook.
Oh, that's good.
And what I do now is I rant and then I delete it. It's like, I just want to get it out. But then the comments, people start to comment and I go I don't want to think about this all day. So I just delete it. But my vent, I think it was yesterday, I was reading about how the federal government has sort of, warned North Carolina that their education funding is threatened by their recent anti-LGBT bill because of the schooling issue. You know what I mean? The equality,
right.
The school stuff. And the mayor, I think it was the mayor or one of these North Carolina officials said, "We will not be bullied by the federal government." And then I thought, when Springsteen canceled his concert and started that whole boycott thing, it was the same thing. Bruce Springsteen is a bully. And I want to, this is one of the things, one of my shit things. It really bugs me that words like bully and bashed are now so diluted and so appropriated by everybody that they don't mean anything. It happened with bash a long time ago, and it drove me nuts because gay people are bashed. That's what the word means, bashed. When you bash something, you hit it, you damage it. And a gay man can have his head bashed in. So that's a very real physical thing, and it has power. But when you start saying, if I criticize the Catholic Church, I'm Catholic bashing. Or I'm bashing lawyers, or I'm bashing, you know, some Broadway show. It just turns it into a nothing word that doesn't have any meaning. And it's not fair to the people who are victims of physical violence. And I feel the same way about bullying. You know, there are people who are bullied, kids who are bullied into the point of hanging themselves and killing themselves. That's bullying to me. Having somebody, you know, call you on your shit is not bullying. And it just bugs me that, like, bullying is the sort of nothing word anymore. And I'll tell you, I've already stated this, that I feel the same way about hate and hater. The gays and those folks, of which I am one, turned hate and hater into the sort of ubiquitous, all-purpose slur to throw at everybody who doesn't agree with us. So, and now, of course, everybody's a hater. If you don't like Beyonce's Lemonade, you're a hater. You know, so it doesn't mean anything, and so that's one of my things.
I think it's
about
semantics, and you've always been as a writer.
I'm a word guy. Words are like in my head all the time, and I think
they
about
matter.
Them.
But I think people. I think in this case, and I agree with you. But I think what happens is people pick powerful words up. If they start to resonate, they're going to use them over and over again, just like clickbait. You know, when people write headlines to make you click to read the story. For those that don't know, it's called clickbait. It is. I think that's part of it. Like I had this discussion with a friend the other day. I was saying fuck at a bar. And it was a hotel bar. It was the Hilton bar. So it wasn't like this, like I was out drinking and smoking and being unruly. And she was like, wow. I said, oh shit. I use that word at work all the time. So I can't explain it. I think a lot of people just pick those words up, Mark, just for extra emphasis.
Okay. Still bugs me.
Well, it's shit you want to talk about.
It is shit I want to talk about.
Well, how about.
I'm just that's how I am. I think about words all the time.
No, it's cool. When you're talking about the gay bashing, it made me think of Stonewall. That was big news this week.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be Stonewall Inn in Manhattan, where I live most of the time, is going to be a national monument.
That's awesome. Another thing that Obama is doing before he leaves the presidency, I think. Yeah, it's a national monument. The difference between a monument and a landmark is actually officially recognized by the government is a historic significance, where a monument is a protected area. It'll be the first LGBT monument, apparently.
And what I read in this little news item that I'll do tomorrow, I think, on the red lines, if I do them, it's the first dive bar to become a national monument.
Oh, is that cool? That's a great way to look at it. But how cool, yeah. I guess it hasn't been official, but they said the Secretary, Sally Jewell, Secretary of the Interior, and the head of the National Park Service are traveling to New York on Monday, actually.
I wondered what happened to her. She had a bunch of great songs, and then...
Oh, my God, Mark. Really?
Do I hear birds in the background? You have a parakeet?
No, I'm sitting outside. Do you like those birds? Those are the mockingbirds you read about in To Kill a Mockingbird, Mark.
Yeah, don't mock me. Mockingbirds. Mm. Don't kill them, though.
Whatever you want to talk about other shit? You want to take it on? Ring the bell. Ring the bell.
I don't have a lot of shit I want to talk
about. You
want
to get going on this vape issue.
No, that's my final topic. That's not my big topic. My big topic can be tied into my last shit thing I want to talk about. Speaking of Obama and the things he's doing.
Okay, well, wait then.
Yeah, absolutely. And the things he has done in his 8 years. What I see coming down the line, you know, between Trump and Hillary, and like these reactions of Republicans, this is part of my big topic, so I gotta be be careful here.
Oh, it's a tease. It's a tease.
I think it's very possible that a lot of people are going to be looking back on this president they hated for 8 years and saying, "Oh my God, those were the golden years."
I do. I think he's going to go down in history. It's funny you say that because I think it was a Democratic website that just Democratic Voice or something just released yesterday where he was talking about how. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Like, he was saying why there, you know, the rise of Trump, he addressed it. And he said the rise of Trump is here because, you know, basically the shit that he's done in the positive, they're trying to, you know, backlash, if you will.
They're trying to say that Trump is on the rise because of Obama?
Yeah, as a result of, like, the Republicans saying, oh, man, we're just so angry about all the good stuff that happened under Obama. You have to read the story.
Okay, I will. Send me the
link. I'm not well-versed enough, but I do know this. London elected its first Muslim mayor yesterday.
I love the way you say Muslim.
Well, Muslim. How do you say it?
Muslim.
It's Muslim.
I'm sure you're right.
That could be Muslim, too, if you want. But anyway, that was big news.
It was big news. I think it was exciting.
You know what I love about this story, you know, because I have a lot of Pakistani friends that moved to London. It's a big community. But when they moved there, his dad was just a cab driver, and now he's going to be in charge of one of America's most powerful cities, the second generation of that family. I love stories like that.
And I love the Brits, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah. It's part of my final thoughts. Okay. So do you want to get into the big stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was – no, let me just finish this. Sorry.
No, it's okay. We can ramble.
I stand corrected. He was a bus driver. You know I like details. He's commanding a $23 billion budget and second generation. It's very cool. Okay, let's just hit the penis thing and then we'll move on because we teased our audience about it.
Okay, that was yours, though. Go ahead. It's your penis. Go on.
I want to hear you comment on my penis. Were you shocked to hear?
I've never seen it.
This article came out. Thank God. I can't see it anymore either. You know why?
Because you got a belly.
And you knew that was coming. That was a setup for you to bash me.
No, I just want to bully you. No big deal.
You're such a hater.
Now go on.
Ideal penis size in 10 countries. Look it up. There's a story out there, guys. Of course, they survey men and women. And I love the fact that women view the average, you know, when they say, what do you think the average size is? Their prediction is actually smaller than what men think the average size is. But still, all in all, weren't you kind of shocked to see they think the ideal size of a penis is like 6.3 inches?
Well, that's actually, I think it's kind of the average size.
Although everyone wants to tell you they got an 8-incher, don't they?
They want to, but they're lying. They're all lying.
Well, it's a survey conducted by a Brit, an online medical.
I love the Brits. Like, I told you.
I know. Dr. Ed did this report. Go look it up. I might have gone too far with that subject, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of run its course, but it's okay.
Okay. Well, I was just surprised to see the difference in men and females' opinion. That's what I think.
But I'm not, because it's like maybe women think their tits are bigger than they are. I mean, you know, men are going to think their dicks are bigger because they want to.
Well, that's probably true. Okay. Hold on.
My big topic. And okay. it's also part of the headline for the podcast. It's Trumpocalypse.
Ooh, good.
Yes. Oh my God. We can't stay away from politics. We got this major election coming up, and it's fascinating. I can't remember a more interesting time, political time in my lifetime. I mean, and I go back to. I mean, I, you know, we're at an age where I remember Nixon resigning and stuff like that, but this is just. Fascinating, and you can be fascinated and be appalled at the same time, which is my case. I think it's really fascinating that we have seen this man do what he's done. And you know, when he won Indiana and kind of locked it up, I said to people, don't underestimate him, because they thought he was. They've been calling him a clown for 6 months, 9 months. And I said, you better be careful underestimating Donald Trump. And also his supporters, because he's obviously got support out there, a lot of support. Whatever they're pissed off about, they're determined to do something about it. And I do think I don't think it's going to destroy the Republican Party, which is what I keep reading, but it's going to shake it up. It's going to shake it up. And what I thought you were saying a minute ago about people trying to blame it on Obama, I may have misunderstood. I thought you were saying that people are saying Trump rose – because people are so upset about Obama and his policies. What I think, though, is what I keep reading is that the Republicans created Donald Trump because they have been feeding this bloody, drippy red meat to their base for decades. And at the same time, they have not been doing what they, you know, they've been saying, hey, all you crazy, angry white people, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And then all they've done is serve the rich forever. And I think all these folks are saying, you know, you've fucked us long enough, and it's our time. It's our turn to do the fucking. So they've got Donald Trump up there as the GOP nominee, and the Republican Party is flipping out. I don't think it's going to kill them because we have a two-party system, but it's going to shake them up. It's going to really change the Republican Party, and they're either going to have to deal with these things and stop being, you know, little lapdogs for the fabulously wealthy and deal with the cost of education and jobs and the disappearance of the middle class. They've got to start dealing with that or they will be finished, and Democrats eventually will just run the show once again. That was my big topic.
No, and while you were talking, I was kind of looking up to be specific about what I said, but the news now that's coming out of, it's about 12 hours ago, is Obama basically made a lot of comments about Trump yesterday. I think he's poising for the attack on him in the head-to-head race. And you are right. He did rise. And he's there. And
Is he running against Trump?
No, he's not. But yes, in theory, it's the Democrats running against Trump.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. I'm sorry.
Basically, he was, some of his comments now are, this is not a rat. This is not a reality show, is the big headline people are picking up talking about him.
It's going to be really kind of fun to watch the Republicans who are trying to destroy Donald Trump turn around and criticize Obama for doing the same thing. It'll be just see how they handle it.
Oh yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. What do you think of the debates? What do you think we're going to see when we see a Clinton and Trump debate?
I think it's going to be really ugly, mm-hmm. unless his handler, you know, they're trying to make him seem presidential and like bite his tongue, which he would need to bite completely off. Mm-hmm. But it will be interesting to see like what kind of ugly misogynistic crap pops out of his mouth when he's debating Hillary Clinton.
It'll be interesting. And, you know, I guess this Thursday, Paul Ryan's set to meet with Trump. Of course, he and two other top leaders or two other former presidents or presidential candidates, Bush and Romney, came out and said that, along with Ryan, said they can't support him as a presidential candidate under the Republican banner. So they're going to be this Thursday, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of scolding going on.
Lindsey Graham said he wasn't going to vote for either. Yeah. He wasn't going to vote. Now, I'll end on this because I'm always looking at that little clock timer thing. I work with somebody who's a Republican, and she said she will vote for Hillary Clinton. And she wasn't thrilled about it, but that she can't stand the thought of Donald Trump in the White House.
Well, that goes to a comment. One of the comments yesterday by Obama was women need to really consider if they would ever consider having him as their president.
Especially these young millennials that I keep hearing they can't stand Hillary and she's not them. And they're sort of neo-feminist or post-feminist shit. I have issues with millennials.
Oh, me too.
They're the new generation, so I gotta like deal with it.
Well, one of my end quotes will address that. Yes, that gets me fired up. I want to talk about, as it relates to the election, because I think it will be a landslide in Hillary's favor, given all these situations. But
I hope we take the Senate. I hope the Senate goes with her.
Oh yeah, that's the key thing we need to focus on now, and I think that's what Obama is addressing. You know, if Obama's going to have the legacy you're defining as a president, his influence on what happens after his presidency is critical.
Oh, very important.
Yeah, and I think it'll happen. Like I said, next month we realize, you know, what lays out over the next 8 years really is going to rest on her choice of a vice presidential candidate for the next 8 years, how that'll affect the Supreme Court, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to talk about voter IDs. It's an interesting thing because we hear about it. You know, you hear about you have to have a voter ID in 33 states and over half of those, I think it's 17, you have to actually have a photo ID, and how that's marginalizing, you know, and preventing people from voting. If you go to a website, and read about it, they're saying that as many as 25% of African-American citizens of voting age don't have government-issued photo IDs compared to 8% of their white counterparts. They say, of course, the states like Wisconsin, which was in the Supreme Court last year about their one. North Carolina is enforcing it. It's going into law, I think, this year, definitely before the election. You know, it's critical, and they're saying it's preventing the vote from the people that really need to have a voice in these types of elections.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about it, Mark, is I dig deeper into it. The Supreme Court has actually held that a state cannot value one person's vote over another. And that's exactly what these laws do. So I'm kind of getting fired up. Remember when I was on gun control? I'm kind of getting fired up about this subject. And you know what really hit me? Many people recognize the image of a woman named Virginia McLaurin. She was that 107-year-old woman on the internet that was dancing with the Obamas recently.
Mm-hmm.
66 million times people looked at that video. She doesn't even have a photo ID because where she lives in D.C., they won't issue her a driver's license or a photo ID, I should say. She's not driving anymore until she gives her birth certificate.
And she doesn't have a birth certificate.
No, because it's based in Carolina and South Carolina. And South Carolina, to get a copy of your birth certificate, requires that you show a photo ID.
Yeah, it's a catch-22, and it's really evil. And there are a lot of older people. I mean, there are people who were born in their homes, you know, 90 years ago. And there's no birth record, so it's very difficult. And there are people who have been voting for 50 years, and all of a sudden they can't vote, you know?
Well, unfortunately, she can because D.C. doesn't require photo ID. But you're right. There's others that don't. Here's her quote, which I love. It's not my end quote, although we're running to that time. But it's exactly what you said. She said, "I don't think I'll ever get that face card. I was birthed by a midwife, and the birthday and the birthday put in a Bible somewhere. I don't know if they even had a true birth certificate back then." Isn't that a cool story?
It is, and it's very true. And I do want to say, though, you know, just to be the devil's advocate, I understand how easy it is for other people to think, though, like, why can't you get an ID?
Right.
Because, like, how hard is it? Now, I think it's weird in New York, but you can... We don't need voter ID. I just voted last week, and I just walked in, and they got my name on a thing, and I signed it, and that's it. But it bugs me that in a bunch of places, a gun license is accepted, but not a student ID.
Wow.
And stuff like that. That's in a lot of states.
Keep going.
I was going to say, though, maybe it wouldn't hurt for people like Beyonce to, you know, somebody, people with these really high-profile lives to start encouraging for the ones who can, not the old
folks, right.
But get a driver's license, get a state ID instead of waiting to see what happens in the courts, you know, start getting these people so that they're able to vote. I that just popped into my head. I think it's a great initiative.
It's a great initiative. I mean, we can talk about it all we want, but what influence do we have? It's one of those church – I mean, it's one of those state – you know.
We have a podcast, Rick. We have The Twist. Are you crazy?
Everyone's got a voice. They can start a podcast. But it is – you know, it's like when we went into same-sex marriage. It's centralized – what do we call our country is a decentralized country. You have a centralized government, and then you're decentralized by the states. There's no uniformity. And I would think in a presidential election, there should be some uniformity. So it is complex. Now, I got to say, Mark, too. You can, and I love what you're saying, because you can gripe all you want that I can't afford to pay $20 to get a driver's license, therefore I can't vote. But bullshit. I mean, I hate to say it, but you can, if it's so important to you. So in theory, it's true. It shouldn't be required, in my opinion. However, it is required in some states. So therefore, go above and beyond. Put a penny aside every day. Tell you get a $20 license, and then go vote. Or ask a friend.
Sell your Jay-Z ticket.
Well, it's true. Oh, my God, Mark. Now we're really going to get in trouble.
No, but I'm sorry. Sell your Bruce Springsteen ticket. How's that? Is that better?
Well, yeah. And if anyone's listening that doesn't have the money to get an ID, write to Mark, and he will be happy to help you out.
I didn't mean it the way it sounded,
Oh, now you're going
to
say, because you are more conscious. That. You know me. I say things, and I don't give a shit.
No, but
you
every
really
time,
but
every time this topic comes up, it really affects older people, younger people, and minorities.
I know. Oh, that's what I'm saying. This is one case like that. Interesting, you mentioned Indiana and the power it had. In 2008, it was reported their voter ID law disfranchised 12 nuns who were trying to vote in the primary election. They were all over 80 years old, couldn't have a voice because of the requirement. But the good news is California does not have a requirement, like New York. The big states don't. So
no.
You're in California, you can go vote. And I really think, you know, they said there's ways around them. When you really look at it, people aren't cheating the system, and that's what they were accused
of. No, there's no voter fraud. It's ridiculous. Are we ready for the final bell?
Yeah. got me fired up. Are you?
No, I know that. I know
Are
that.
Are you embarrassed
but
by your comments?
No, I'm looking at the time.
No. Oh, shit.
I don't really want a 45-minute show.
Maybe we don't do a. Maybe we just cut to the quotes. I forgot.
No. Shit. No, I'm going to get my final balance. It's like my job to move the show along. Unless you're in a hurry, I can tell you. I can tell you got somewhere to go because you'll be like, you know, let's a final quote. You ready?
No, I'm going back to bed. I just wasn't following the show format very well, and I'm a little worked up. Go ahead, final bell.
I smell the smoke. speaking of that, this is also in the head going to be in my little headline. You'll see. But here's two little quick little read-throughs from. Yes, FDA to regulate e-cigarette. This is my final bell. Vape or die, the great e-cig debate. FDA recently, I think it was Thursday, issued a tough set of rules for the e-cigarette industry that included banning sales of anyone under 18. I totally support that, no problem. And requiring packaging warnings. But now they will all have to go through the FDA approval process, which is onerous and can cost up to $1 million per brand, like if you've got vanilla and whatever, you got a dozen different offerings because there's a vape shop near us. But they got to do each one of those has to be approved at an extremely high cost. Each nicotine level, whether it's 2 milligrams or 7, they all have to be approved. It's going to put most of these folks out of business. The only ones who might survive are the big tobacco companies, of course, because they'll be able to just buy it all up and do what they do. Now that's the hysterical American anti-smoking. Response to this. In Britain, however, the Royal Academy of Physicians issued an order urging smokers to switch to e-cigarettes. Taking a stance sharply at odds with most American public health officials, a major British medical organization urged smokers to switch to electronic cigarettes, saying they are the best hope in generations for people addicted to tobacco to quit. The recommendation laid out in a report by the Royal College of Physicians summarizes the growing body of science on e-cigarettes and finds that their benefits far outweigh the potential harms. It concludes resoundingly that at least so far the devices are helping people more than harming them and that the worries about them, including that using them will lead young people to eventually start smoking traditional cigarettes, have not come to pass. Now, I totally went, I mean, speaking of Facebook rants, I really ranted on this the other day when I read it. And then I deleted it, of course, because I had a potty mouth. I said I used foul language. But I've known people, I was a smoker for a long time. I vaped for a couple months last year, and that's how I stopped, you know, because I vaped for a couple months, and then one day I said, I don't want to do this anymore, and I stopped. And I think, to me, it's an issue of saving lives and reducing harm. But this is, the Americans are very different. Like, we don't want needle exchanges because it's going to make people want to be junkies. And we don't want condom distribution because it's going to make young kids want to, like, have sex. And now we do have a very vocal, very powerful, very shrill anti-smoking lobby. And I want to say, e-cigarettes and vaporizers are not a tobacco product. They did that in New York. They rewrote the law to classify them as a tobacco product. There is no tobacco in an e-cigarette. It is a nicotine delivery system. And I believe that it saves lives. I see a lot of people using them on the street. And every time I think, you know, I'm so glad you might get old. You have a chance, you know, to maybe not have lung cancer and not have bladder cancer and not have severe COPD. You know, and die with an oxygen tank and a little tube around your nose. That's my perspective on this. And I understand the whole hysteria about what if a child sees it and sees somebody sucking on a piece of metal and they want one, mommy, give me one of those. I think I don't give a shit. You know, if your kid can't deal with that or your kid can't deal with that, good luck living in a world where Donald Trump could be the president. The world is a tough, tough place to be. And I'm not interested in condemning people to death so that some hysterics 12-year-old doesn't get influenced, because they get influenced anyways. They see celebrities smoking cigarettes and that's not gonna change. So I feel very strongly about it. I have a relative, I won't say, you know, how she's related to me, but she has severe COPD And she still smokes. And I think, oh my God, I would love to have had her stop and use a vaporizer. Or other people I've loved, I don't want to see them die young. I don't want to have to take care of somebody who could have switched to e-cigarettes and either stopped altogether or at least had a much greater chance of living out a full life. And I feel very strongly about it. That's my final bell. Mm. And I know, well, you don't like the way it looks, but...
No, so. We have to go like this now.
Okay.
And move on. I know. That's more than the way it looks and stuff. But, you know, it's interesting. While you were saying that, I have the final quote today, and I was really looking up a quote from Sally Burwell, who's the Secretary of Health, in her comments, to respond to your comments, but I won't read it. But basically, she does contend that there are other proven cessation tools out there. However,
you've never been a smoker. You don't know, but listen to me, Rick. Of course you can wear a patch for the rest of your life. I've known people who've been chewing gum for 15 fucking years.
Are you going to let me talk?
I reject what she said because I read it.
Oh,
it's very smug. It's very smug. It's very dismissive. Oh, well, they could just put a patch on.
Yeah, because they're on a roll and they're going to stick on the roll. You know, you see these images online of it's her and it's Robert Califf from the FDA and it's Dr. Vivek Murthy or whatever his name is, the general, you know, U.S. general. And they're up. You're right. And comments back from the vape industry are, you know, we're not taking this lightly. We're going to come on strong. I will say, although I never smoked, my father did die of lung cancer. And I do have a very dear relative who may or may not still be smoking, even though they witnessed that. And I feel strong about it, but I feel strong in that it needs some regulation. However, I do agree with you and my friends, because I was a big advocate of needle drug exchange back in the day when we saw people dying. So I want to tell you, I truly appreciate your thoughts, and they move me. I mean, I have to really look at how I feel differently, and I'm just one person's voice, but I think you're right. I mean, I think you're right in that if they're going to save a life, let them save a life, and you're 100% right. I had a dear friend of mine write me that same point on Facebook, and you got it.
Well, I'll just close with saying I happen to also respect other countries' approaches to these things. It's like countries that are in front of us on drug legalization, right. Countries that are in front of us on rehabilitation, yeah, rather than incarceration. Americans are can be really fucked up, and it's like to me, like I already said, and then I got to shut up. It's the whole abstinence mentality.
I know. You're right. And I'm an American, and I'm speaking like one, which
people are going to do things they enjoy. Because if we really want to go there, and then I got to shut up. I hate alcohol. I fucking hate it. And I don't. And, you know, and everybody's putting their shit on Facebook. I'm having a good time. I'm having a beer. I'm having a drink. I fucking hate alcohol. You want to ban something,
right,
and get something out of our society, make it alcohol.
Yeah, where are the regulations there? You know, we went through a period of prohibition.
But I'm cool with regulating this stuff, but don't regulate them out of business.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
All right, final quotes. And I do agree with you, Mark.
Okay, go ahead. Final quote. I'm cool.
That's true. But you know I'm drinking today.
No, I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are.
I mean that in love. You know that. It's Derby
Day. It's where that belly came from that you can't see your dick.
It's true. Oh, my God. Bringing the show full circle, it's Mint Julep Day, but yes, bringing it full circle also in my final quotes, it's two quotes combined to address that millennial Harry Potter supporter. What's the guy's name that they're voting for? Bernie Sanders guy, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. He's going to really, if he damages Hillary beyond her ability to win, he's going to Ralph Nader land.
Yeah, he is. So one quote is from a writer named Myra Herzer, and you may have seen it on my Facebook. She basically says, you may hate Hillary with a fiery, irrational passion, but you'd better remember that you hate Trump more. By all means, mourn Bernie's loss and continue to advocate for the policies he championed. But at the end of the day, you need to suck it up and vote for Hillary. And I'm following that up with a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson, which I think is so poignant. And when I found this one at 3 a.m, I thought of you, Mark. Here's his quote. Those who stay away from the election think that one vote will be no good. 'Tis but one step more to think one vote will do no harm.
I love that.
Isn't that a great quote?
It's one very true. And I've got to say that we love each other and, you know, we disagree, but that's why it's called The Twist. It's us.
We're twisted.
And we learn from each other. I've changed my opinions because of the, I mean, look at the word queer. I mean, I'm totally with you now. So
yeah, and you're caught up on words. Man, we brought this show full circle about four times now. All right, love you, Mark. Love you all.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Twist, America's only clothing optional podcast.